This time I'll invite you to stand as you are able for our gospel reading today, which comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, beginning with verse 2. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples. And they went and asked Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Did you see someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This week is sort of the second installment of John the Baptist's story within Matthew's gospel. Last week we heard the story of John out in the wilderness wearing a cloak of camel's hair, which I think is funny that Jesus brings back around this week. Does John wear fine linens? No, he has the memorable uniform of a tunic made of camel's hair. And he's preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now this makes him a very popular with a certain subset of people, namely people who are looking for the Messiah. People who are hoping for the Lord's anointed one to come, they are very excited by John's message. And it also makes him very unpopular with another certain subset of people, namely those who are in power. King Herod, Pontius Pilate, they like things the way they are. They don't want to see any apple carts upset. And yet that's just what John seems intent on doing. So it makes sense that when we get to the second installment of John's story, 9 chapters later in chapter 11, he's been arrested. He's in prison. And he's hearing these little bits about what Jesus is doing out there. And so he asks his disciples to go to Jesus and to ask him, "Are you the one? Is this really happening?" Pastor Eric's translation of this is John sending out his disciples to ask, like, "Are we still good? Is this still going to be a thing?" Right? Jesus empowers the disciples then to report back. He doesn't give these lofty assurances, but rather he tells the disciples, "Just go and tell what you see." The disciples and John, certainly everyone gathered, would have known these prophecies from old and the prophet Isaiah of hearing that when the Messiah comes, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be opened, the lame shall leap like a deer, the tongue of those without speech shall sing for joy. All of these reversals are prophesied as happening at the coming of the Messiah. Jesus says, "You see these things happening, just go and tell John. Go and tell John about the things that you have seen." Now, there's one reversal that I think John would have been particularly keen to hear. I can imagine John sitting in his cell hearing about all of these reversals happening that were prophesied in the Old Testament and him thinking, "Okay, what about the prisoners? Are we setting the prisoners free yet? As one who was sitting in prison. But Jesus reminds John the promise of the prophets that everything that is wrong will be made right. Every injustice will be made right. And John, sitting there, may not feel like that. It may feel like the injustices done to everyone else were being made right, and yet there John sits. But Jesus continues to remind John of the promise of the prophets and then ends with a last word of blessing. He says, "And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." Even through all the trials, even after everything upside down in the world has been made right, the last word is one of blessing. I love Jesus' response to this because it's a reminder that the disciples, that those who follow, are empowered with all of the abilities we need when we go and tell. Go and tell the things that you've seen. Go and tell how you felt the joy of God in your life. Go and tell those times where you felt the peace of God that passes all understanding, guarding our hearts and our minds. It can be a difficult task to go and tell, right? Especially if we're going and telling and we're not quite sure where, well, you know, what other people might believe or where they might sit with the whole church thing. I think one of the key phrases I've heard when I listen to people talk about God and how God moves in our lives is there's a key phrase I've heard, and it's when they lean in and they say, "But there was this time." It can start from this place of skepticism, right? Oh, I don't know if God really moves in our lives. I don't know if the whole Jesus thing is real. I think it can all kind of be explained through X, Y, and Z. And then they'll kind of look around and lean in and they'll say, "But there was this time. There was this time where something happened and I can't explain it. There was this time when I felt God's presence with me in a real way. There was this time where someone knew exactly what I needed to hear, and there's no way they could have known what I had been going through." I have a hunch that us or someone we know, that we might have a story or two that starts with, "But there was this time." And it's those kind of moments that we experience the kingdom of heaven showing up. John saying the kingdom of God has come near. We get those glimpses of what it looks like. Last week, Pastor Brigido was here from the People's Church up in Bemidji and talking about the community that gathers there of people who are experiencing homelessness, who come to be sheltered there and have meals together there, and the community that's formed, the glimpses of the tangible kingdom of heaven that we see in those little moments of relationship and community with one another. We can experience those kind of glimpses, and then in our heads we can think, "Are you the one? Is that what's happening here?" One of the things that we are commanded in this season of Advent is to sit in patience for God to do what God does. In a reading from James, there's this encouragement. It's right at the end of the letter of James, and it says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord." Be patient. That can be a difficult command, can be a difficult task, this having patience. As we sit about 10 days out from Christmas Eve, an encouragement toward patience may be a popular phrase in your household right now, especially if you have young kids or grandkids. Be patient. Wait. Maybe you have a spouse who wants to eat all the cookies beforehand. We got to be patient, right? In our house right now, I think I have an 11 and a 7-year-old, and I think our Advent calendar says it's about the 20th. right now because the chocolates have mysteriously disappeared up until then, right? Maybe this kind of encouragement that we need, be patient with one another. Maybe as we're gathering with family, that's not an encouragement that we are used to hearing, but maybe one we need, be patient with one another as others are patient with you. Advent is a season that leans on patience. In some ways, all of our spiritual life is summed up in this season of Advent, of being patient, because God has been revealed to us, and yet the fullness of God is still not here. In the midst of the patience and the preparation, we know that God is working and God is moving and God is turning the upside down things right side up. We know that God is about to do the unthinkable, and yet we still sit in a world where an awful lot seems pretty upside down. In just a few days, we'll celebrate the birth of God among us in Jesus. But Advent takes us a step beyond that, not only awaiting the birth of Christ at Christmas, but awaiting that day when all will be made right, when all the hills and valleys are made level, to that promised day when Christ will come again to make all things new. So as we wait for that promised day when all will be made new, we wait together and we watch together and we tell those, but there was this time stories to encourage one another as we walk together in community. We tell one another of those glimpses that come before us to show how the kingdom of heaven is breaking through even now. We pray, and we light candles, and we sing together, and we say thanks be to God. Amen.